Namgyakona, the podcast inspiring entrepreneurs in South Africa. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me.
Sesibuyile, we are back, bangani zimpintshi zethu, to Namgyakona, where we know that if it's going to be, it is up to me. And very excited to always be bringing you top thinkers, trailblazers, and inspiring young people for us to learn from and connect with here at Namgyakona. They can show us that if something is going to be, it's up to me, and they are paving the way on how to do that. I'm very excited to have the guests that we have here today. Always am excited, you know that, and want to welcome you guys to the show again and invite you to connect with us. Follow us on social media. If you were inspired today, drop something down in the comments below or share it with a friend. You may never know whose life you might change. And from me, your host, welcome once again, and very happy as well to introduce to you our guest for today, Velani Mboweni. Velani, sir, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Sanbonani Nonke, Absheni, Kwemora. Good morning, good afternoon.
We've got a lot of learning languages and diversity to do, but yourself as well, your background also very diverse, but at least now you've been focusing on the business Lula, where you are co-founder, which is a company that's connecting, you know, companies and commuters so that people in communities can share rides with people that they trust. And of course, this as a business has been recognized by Harvard Business School, where they wrote a three-part case study on. And also you've won Startup of the Year at the Global Startup Awards. The team made up of yourself as a co-founder as well, and you have a background in BCom, also an honors in BA, and then you did a postgraduate diploma at the WITS Business School. This year recognized as Mail and Guardian's 200 top young South Africans. And I mean, the list really goes on. I think the journey has been very exciting that I know as well, you've been part of the South African Washington International Program. And then there is something for us to Google. We need to type this one out because very prestigious global fellow of the Cairo Society. Check the one out, bangani kuti. Says Tetangani is into zase California. Mboweni, sir, this is an innovative journey. As a startup, it's not easy. And the idea as well has been recognized globally. What is the problem that you've been trying to solve here? What is it that drove you to try and solve this problem?
Sure, that's a very good question. And I think I could speak about that at length, but obviously you have to qualify it by saying, you know, Africa is a beautiful place, right? Young people, good people, people who believe in, you know, sharing and, you know, the spirit of Ubuntu. But the one thing that we have is a lot of problems, right? We all know poverty, unemployment, inequality continues to plague our beloved country as well as the rest of the continent. And so when we started this business, it was founded on the principle that without access to transportation, you can't access economic opportunities. And without those economic opportunities, you can't solve for the poverty, unemployment, and inequality that affects our country. But beyond that is a growing trend that we see in the continent. Over the next 5 years, there'll be over 100 cities in Africa with over 1 million inhabitants. And our population is growing really, really fast. It's heating up 1.5 times faster than anywhere else in the world. And we just don't have the infrastructure to move these people from A to B. So we founded Lula with the principle that in order to harness this demographic dividend, to make our cities more productive and sustainable, we have to leverage the shared infrastructure, which exists in the shared vehicles that we have. And that's where Lula came about. And we strongly believe that in sharing rides with people you trust, you can solve the problems that the society will face, and we can solve for creating opportunities for people across the continent. And that's where we come from.
That's very interesting around the problem-solving narrative. I'm also very curious to understand, I mean, like you're saying, there's many problems on the continent. You know, we're facing them, we're living them every day, Masiaskolweni, when we come back from school. But not everyone is solving problems. Not everyone is going out to say, I'm going to be the one to solve this problem. For you, you know, has that something that always been in you to realize that you are willing to solve this problem, you're going to dedicate to solving the problem? And why is it important for us to think about problems in that way?
100%. I think the first thing is, I've been someone who remains optimistic regardless of circumstances. The second is that, you know, I really, really, really love my country, my continent, and my people. And, you know, going into spaces where everyone is just complaining kind of makes you sick. And so I thought, well, let's stop the complaining and let's be part of solutions. And if I could not find a solution that is out there, I'd, you know, rather go out and create one myself and hopefully get to a place where people stop complaining about that particular problem. So I've always been someone who likes to solve problems and serve people. As a young man, or rather as a young baby, actually, in my household, whenever electronics were broken, my dad used to always say, you know, give it to Velani, he'll probably fix it. So I was always fidgeting with the radio, the TV, the VHS machine, the DSTV decoder. I was always fidgeting with those things, understanding the intricacies of them. And so, you know, one day you couldn't watch TV. The next minute I pulled a few wires and the TV was functioning again. So, yeah, the love for solving problems rather than, you know, pursuing monetary gain is what keeps me going. And I think we're really blessed to live in a society that has lots of problems, or rather lots of opportunities.
That's very interesting on monetary gain is not the main thing. You know, yes, we want to live to pay the bills, and get paid, you know, so that we can have some money. But for you, you're saying money is not the focus. It's not the reason of starting a business. You were really driven by something deeper and bigger than you, to help to serve communities, like you're saying.
For me, it starts back when I was in grade 11. And I was convicted that I was always going to be an aeronautical engineer. I wanted to build airplanes. I wanted to fly. I wanted to, you know, go to the moon like Elon Musk is currently pursuing. But my father asked me a question and he said, Vels, what's the one thing you think of when you wake up and when you go to the bed? And I said, you know, Baba, this is a loaded question. There's so many things I think about. And he really called me to listen and think about it deeply. And after much deliberation, I realized that the constant theme in my mind is understanding, why do people suffer, right? Why is it that when I pull up at the side of the road, there's a guy on the side of the road asking for money? Why is it that, you know, people have so many dysfunctional problems that hinder them from, you know, living a life that is glorious, one that is satisfactory? And at that point, I decided that I was not going to be an aeronautical engineer, which I got accepted to at WITS. And I decided that I was going to study why the world is the way it is, which is why I chose a BCom in philosophy, politics, and economics. And at that point, I realized that to understand the world and solve for its problems, you have to enable other people to thrive. And so building a business like ours, which is effectively a platform, helps people take initiative on their own to solve their problems whilst we facilitate that.
So why is resilience important as an entrepreneur, and what does it mean for you? You know, what happened in your journeys where, you know, you had to be resilient to stick it through?
Yeah, sure. So resilience for me is summed up in a number of aspects. The first is not giving up. So we tried to solve this problem about accessibility to transport in emerging markets a number of times. And the first time we tried it, we really focused on the how as opposed to the why. And that how failed. So we pivoted to focusing on how we're doing it now. And that has, you know, been, you know, successful, or it's moving forward. in the grand scheme of things. But we then obviously had COVID, right? So, you know, taking people to work and back was a great idea before, you know, work from home was a new normal. And we even had investors who said they were going to invest in the business pull out because, you know, they thought work from home will be the new normal. So this Lula thing is dead in its tracks. And despite that, we still continued. We still pressed on. We still believed in solving this problem. And by the grace of God, we've managed to raise even more money during the pandemic than we did beforehand. So resilience means even when it seems impossible, even when, you know, supposed experts are telling you it's not going to work, you still have to push through with some reasonable sense of sanity and good judgment. The other aspect of resilience is actually taking time to recover, right? Taking time to rest, because the problem is a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of media that we read about talks about, you know, working 80-hour weeks, not sleeping, you know, they talk about all these things that make you seem like you're a machine. But at the end of the day, you know, it's humans who solve problems, right? Even if they require machines to intervene, humans solve problems. So you have to, you know, take care of yourself as a form of resilience. You have to rest and recover. There's a good saying that says a good harvest, a good field that rests produces a good harvest. So, you know, when you're farming emapulazini and, you know, you're planting, whether it's umbila or, you know, mangoes, you can't keep planting on that field and not letting it recover. You can't take all the fruits and not let it recover. So there has to be a time where, you know, winter season and summer season, the field takes a rest, recovers, and then starts producing again. And I think those are the two aspects of resilience, being able to push on, persevere, even when it seems impossible, and being able to rest and recover on this journey. Because at the end of the day, entrepreneurship is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a, you know, 1,200 meter lap around the track, not a 100 meter sprint. So that's my take on resilience.
So you got to take your time and have a long-term view is what I'm hearing. Because, you know, you need to know that even difficult now, you saying it may be different next year, in 3 years' time, in 6 months' time, if you hold on. So you got to have a long-term view, and also know that it's a marathon. Take care of yourself is part of being resilient. And what does it mean to love your people? What does it mean to want to serve people? Why? Where did that characteristic for you come from?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it came from the environment I was exposed to growing up. My mom and dad, my dad was a doctor, my mom was a teacher before they ventured into business. So from a very, very early age, we saw our parents, you know, giving to us as children, but every point in time in their day, they had to go focus on other people. My dad would have to go and, you know, take care of his patients. My mom would take care of her students. You know, when it was time to play, or watch TV with mom, she'd be marking school assignments. You know, when I wanted my dad to come to, you know, my soccer games, he'd be, you know, working on patients. So we were always aware that life wasn't always going to be about us, but it was going to be about other people. And what we did see is the value that brought to their lives. You know, there's something incredibly beautiful when someone who is sick and, you know, fighting for their life recovers because of the work that a doctor does, and they come back and say, thank you, because of you, you know, my life can now be fulfilled and more rewarding. It's something incredibly rewarding when a teacher helps a student who is struggling with math or physics, and that student becomes a scientist or gets a really top job at a bank because of the value that servant leaders provide in society. So I had been convicted from a long time that life was never going to be about me. Life was always going to be about making this beautiful environment and country that we live in a better place for as many people as possible. And so that's where the altruism comes from. That's where being able to serve comes from. And it also is quite ingrained in my faith. You know, my faith being a Christian speaks about, you know, the least of these is the greatest of these, and the least of these is the one who serves. So that's where it comes from.
It's so interesting, Vilani. I really love what you're saying, because you're saying you were ingrained when you were young that it's more than you and it's about serving others and serving a community, and you love, you know, serving so much that you've dedicated your life to change decisions from wanting, you know, being an engineer and completely dedicated your life to this journey. And actually, even though you've given so much, you know, you've been recognized by companies, by global startup awards, by various, you know, even universities, and you're growing your business, and investors as well are investing in the business. And so you've gained so much, even though you are doing this to give. And I think that's an interesting, you know, aspect of how it's not about you, but that's actually what makes you succeed. That's what makes you grow, and that's what makes you entrepreneurial. Is that something that you've seen or can reflect with? And is that something that, you know, when now as you are doing the kind of work you do, and as you say, collaborating with others, sharing that, and how does that impact the people that you collaborate with and work with? So one part is for you, do you recognize that? Do you believe that? And how does it affect people that you work with?
Certainly, I fully believe in this. And I think it became ever so pronounced during the national lockdown, during this COVID-19 pandemic. You know, I could speak about two incidents. The first being, you know, as an entrepreneur in COVID, where you take people to work and back, that business basically shut down for a number of months. But we have, you know, hundreds of drivers on our platform that rely on us for income. So as an entrepreneur, do I just sit down and tell people, whoops, sorry, no more? Or do I innovate? Do I think about problems?
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault, yeah. So what I did is that call to service says that, you know, provide opportunities for people. And we quickly realized that there was an opportunity in last mile delivery, you know, to deliver parcels. So people who were typically moving, you know, passengers to work and back, doubled up as delivery drivers, helping small businesses get their parcels across the cities. And that quickly grew relatively fast. And I saw that actually it's my responsibility as an entrepreneur, having trusted our partners and the partners trusting us, to give opportunity. You know, a single driver can't go door to door selling their skill, selling their service, saying, hey, I can deliver parcels. Hey, I can deliver, you know, your people. That is an enormous task for them. They probably don't have the resources. And so that responsibility rests on us as a platform to do the marketing, to do the customer acquisition for these partners and scale them through. The second aspect is more on the internal side, where, you know, President Ramaphosa announces around the 21st of March, 2020, that there will be a national shutdown, lockdown. And, you know, we're in the middle of a funding round, cash flow is tight, this customers haven't paid us, and our employees are saying, yo, are we coming or going? Are we going to lose our jobs? The world is crumbling. What are we going to do? And in the midst of the storm, I decided, you know, I don't want to cut anyone's jobs, because this too shall pass. We got to be resilient. We got to, you know, work hard, focus on what matters, and make very quick decisions to get through this pandemic. Unfortunately, no one in our company was retrenched or lost their job because of the pandemic. You know, and that is something, you know, I never thought in a million years that as a young man, I would have to lead a team during a pandemic. So, you know, we managed to get out of that. We did lose some people, but not because of, you know, COVID related, maybe just because of performance, but we stuck it through, right? And that for me is examples of, you know, resilience, service, characteristics that help us, you know, build trust in giving and gaining in this environment.
So what I really loved about what you said as well is, trust, you know, and coming up with, you know, trust that you will come up with a solution. So they trust you as an entrepreneur to be creative, to be innovative, even though it doesn't seem like there's a solution. Another thing that came across is really what you're saying is curiosity, opened up the love for learning for you and to learn to solve the problems. Like you're saying, the more you knew, the more you realized you don't know, and the more you need to know. And so curiosity is, and there's a love and a joy in that, like you're saying, you know, is when you actually enjoy learning. And Tina, we're at school, the school system isn't always enjoyable to learn. It doesn't teach us to enjoy to learn. If you were now talking to 16-year-old Velani, and 15-year-old Velani, and you know, maybe they enjoyed learning already, maybe they didn't, but let's assume that, you know, we need to appreciate eskolweni, koskela. It's not easy to know that what you're learning is going to be connected to your future, and you're actually building curiosity. If you were to advise Velani and to build curiosity, to learn to learn, and to help them discover the joy of lifelong learning for their success and their dreams, what would you say to them?
You know, this is a question that I love so much, because I wish I could speak to 16-year-old Velani Koskela to kind of answer him. because I loved school, but I think I loved school because of the things that we'd learn, right? The curiosity of it. That's not to say I loved everything, right? There were always those subjects that I was just like, you know, why do I need to learn about mitochondria? Right. So why do I need to learn about, you know, some of the rocks and the different, you know, formations when I should be learning about taxes and financial management? But what I could say to Velani Koskela at 16 is it's important when you're reading and writing and learning amongst your peers is why these things matter. And what I realized that I never ever asked my teachers why this matters, right? If I could just ask a teacher, why do I need to know what 1+1 is? Why do I need to know trigonometry? Why do I need to know, you know, map work and geography? I think I would have had a greater appreciation of the importance and value of education than I already had. And I think the same applies in business, and the same applies in talking to your colleagues. You know, why does this problem matter? Why does it matter right now in this right context? And I think that there's a number of like things that I remember that applied in my schooling years that, you know, apply right now. And I understand, oh, that's why. And one of those is, you know, when you're doing your homework and you maybe have a few exercises in math to hand in, then you have your Zulu homework, then you have your geography homework. And like, how? Doesn't the geography teacher know that I have Zulu homework or English homework? Why are they bombarding me? Like, I don't have enough time. And the funny thing is, even as an entrepreneur, there are so many assignments, investment deals, pitch decks, deadlines that I have to meet, but I understand them now because this impacts my bottom line. It impacts my ability to keep running my business. It impacts my ability to make a hire. It impacts my ability to get the right partner who will distribute my business to the next level. And you can't do those things in isolation. You have to do them together. So if Velani Koskela at the age of 16 knew that one day you'll be an entrepreneur who has to manage 2, 3, 4 projects at a time that are so critical, he would be a lot more calm and relaxed when the geography teacher gave him homework, the math teacher gave him homework, and the science teacher gave him double homework. So that's what I would say.
There you have it, folks. Pinches it to guti. Let's not complain to the teachers too much. Sometimes it can feel like a lot of work, but what Velani is inspiring us to know is that it's pressure that makes diamonds. It's the pressure cooker that cooks delicious poiki kos. So we should take that pressure and chill. You know, it's nothing compared to what's coming if you are living on your journey. And thank you so much, Velani, for inspiring us today. It's been an amazing journey that you've been on. We're going to link some more of the places that you've been, the things you've done, for people to learn more about what you're doing, and to understand, you know, what it means to innovate and what it means to serve your community. Thanks so much for joining us and for inspiring us today. Lots of wisdom for us to pick up. I'm sure we were taking notes. I know it's digiwa ngamaphepha, we're tired of papers, but this is where we should be taking notes.
Thanks so much, man. It's been a real honor and pleasure. Siselo Nhlanhla, to all the people writing their exams and all the, you know, tasks that they have ahead of themselves. I think, you know, South Africa has a lot of problems, and it starts with why. It starts with understanding the community you have, identifying the problems, and really committing your life to making it better. Because tinasikhathele with blaming everything on apartheid or government. Sikhathele, the solutions are inside of us. And, you know, we should not focus on what we don't have, but focus on what we do have and make that a prosperous South Africa. You know, ubuntu, but umuntu ngumuntu labantu. And I think that's what we need to do as entrepreneurs in school. And so I wish everyone the best of luck. And it's been a real honor talking and sharing with you guys.
Thanks so much. You heard it, guys. If that solution is going to be, it's up to you. And from me, your host, Buntu, once again, see you next time. Thank you for joining us. Remember, if you're inspired, comment down below. Love to hear from you. We're going to get back to you. Kulumanati, reach out to us, talk to us. We try and connect you with the guests that we have if you have a question for them as well. Till next time, thank you and bye-bye.
Stay inspired and be entrepreneurial. Follow us on social media and find us on WhatsApp. Namgiyakhona.